The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations at the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be talking about vascular system health, risks, and prevention. And our guest is Dr. Joseph Fulton, who's Chief of Vascular Surgery at WMC Health's Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston. Dr. Fulton is a nationally recognized surgeon, educator, and researcher who has also been involved in global surgical care. He's an active thought and research leader in his field and has authored multiple peer-reviewed journal articles and book chapters, as well as served as a principal investigator in a variety of clinical trials related to vascular surgery. He is a member of multiple medical societies, including the Society for Vascular Surgery and the Academy of Educators. Dr. Fulton, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you, Vincent. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Doctor, let's begin, for our listeners' sake, with the basics. What is the vascular system and how do blood clots relate to that?
Sure. So the vascular system, I like to think of it, and it's called circulation, because it does make a circle. It circulates. So the heart is the pump, and I sort of put that in the center of it. And when the heart pumps, it sends oxygenated blood, or blood that's carrying oxygen that comes from the lungs, pumps that out to everywhere in the body. Pretty much every living tissue that we have needs oxygen, needs that blood to circulate to it. And as those blood vessels go away from the heart, they branch like a tree does. And just like branches of a tree, every time it branches, it gets smaller and smaller, till eventually those blood vessels get so small, only one red blood cell gets through at a time, and those are called capillaries. And across these capillaries, most of that pressure that's generated by the heart goes out, and those capillaries sort of reform because that blood now has to get back to the heart, and they form venules, or little tiny veins. So these veins are on their way back to the heart. And when we see the blue squishy things on our hands or in our legs, those are veins, very low pressure. And they're on their way back to the right side of their heart so that that deoxygenated blood, or blood that has oxygen now removed from it, can get pumped to the lungs to get oxygen back into it. And that's basically the circulation.
Interesting. And then, what is a blood clot? How do they form? What are the dangers of a blood clot? I mean, they're probably obvious, but from your professional experience.
Right. And blood clots are actually a good thing. We were designed to clot blood to save our lives. And it's basically, if you could think of what it would look like, if you ever saw one, it looks like a ball of jelly. And what it's comprised of is what's called platelets. Platelets are colorless little particles that are produced by the bone marrow, and those are the first responders to injury to blood vessels. So when your blood vessels get injured, that lining sends out little signals, and it activates these platelets, and they come as the first responder to kind of form a plug at that site of injury. So those platelets start clumping together, and they in turn send out signals that sort of signal a clot to form on top of it. And what that clot is made up of fibrin. And you can think of as fibrin as these sticky fibers. So you've got this platelet plug, and then you've got these sticky fibers that form on top of that. And then red blood cells get caught in the middle of that to give it the red color. And that's what forms the blood clot. Now, as much as that's meant to repair any injury to the blood vessel and to stop bleeding and to stop hemorrhaging, it can also cause problems in some areas. Sometimes clots form where it restricts blood flow getting down to the leg or getting out to an organ. It can also break off from a vein and go up to the heart and then to the lungs, and that's called a pulmonary embolism. So if we think of when that happens, it can break off from a clot in a vein. It goes to the right side of the heart. And because clots, when they float downstream, they keep floating to spots where it gets smaller and eventually gets caught up. So as it goes through the right side of the heart, those chambers of the heart are big. So typically those clots don't get caught up in the right side of the heart. But then the right side of the heart pumps it to the lungs. And the vessels out going into the lungs get smaller and smaller till eventually those clots stick there and they stay there and they get stuck. And that's called a pulmonary embolism. And what that does is it restricts blood flow getting to a segment of the lung. And depending upon the size of the clot, it can get caught up in a very big blood vessel and actually stop blood flow to both lungs at the same time. That's what people can die from those.
Mm-hmm. And so are there certain age groups, populations, or others that are more at risk for blood clots? And what? How do like underlying health conditions and even unhealthy behaviors connect to that?
A lot of conditions lead to an increased risk of blood clots. There's inherited clotting disorders, such as there's called factor V Leiden mutation, prothrombin mutation, and a bunch of other inherited disorders. Those are fairly rare. Other things that can make you more at risk of forming blood clots are certain forms of cancer, recent surgery, trauma, immobilization, people who are bedbound, pregnancy, the use of oral contraceptives, heart failure, and age. And it goes up in decades after the age of 40, but it starts getting a little bit more significant after the age of 65. Morbid obesity can also be a risk factor for increased risk of blood clots.
And what about tobacco use?
So tobacco use is, it's a pro-inflammatory condition. So there is a slight risk, increased risk of blood clots with the use of tobacco.
And so how would the average person out there, maybe who's up in that upper age group that you just alluded to, how would they know that there could be a blood clot issue forthcoming? Or, you know, is there any detection? Is there any way of knowing other than just being in a general risk category?
So blood clots in and of themselves are very rare. So when you look at in the general population, just a blood clot coming out of nowhere is a very rare condition. When you look at the different types of blood clots, there are some that form in the arteries, and those, remember, are the blood vessels coming from the heart. And the danger in those is they restrict blood flow getting to someplace. So if those blood clots form in an artery of the leg, the symptoms for that would be extreme pain, numbness, weakness to that extremity. And that can sometimes be an emergency to fix that. The blood clots that form in the veins restrict blood flow getting back to the heart. So let's say that forms in the legs. That's manifest through swelling of the leg, pain in the leg, and it's usually to one leg as opposed to two. The other is the clot that forms and it breaks off and goes to the lungs. That's called the pulmonary embolism. And you would know you'd have that if you got shortness of breath, chest pain, and sometimes it's manifest through low blood pressure as well.
Mm-hmm. And so is this something that a primary physician might catch on an annual physical, or does it take a series of more specialized tests to make those determinations?
So usually these blood clots are an acute situation. So if they're symptomatic enough, they usually result in a visit to the emergency room, sometimes as a call to the primary care doctors. But if they suspect a blood clot, they usually send people to the emergency room, because mm-hmm. that's not something that can be handled in a primary care's office.
Mm-hmm. And so if one has one or more of these risk factors, are there any preventative measures that folks can use to, you know, you mentioned some of the categories and some of the perhaps health behaviors, but when patients say, you know, how can I help protect myself and prevent these types of things, what would you say?
So I would say, unless you're at an extremely high risk category, and there are several of those that are very high risk, such as people who have had blood clots before, and those people require what's called anticoagulation. Some people call them blood thinners. I tend not to call them that, but an anticoagulant is one that prevents some blood clots from forming. It doesn't prevent all blood clots from forming, but it prevents enough so that you don't get a pathologic or a problematic blood clot forming. Those are things like Eliquis, Xarelto, Coumadin, and that would be the main preventive strategy for that. Aside from that, I think just doing what we should be doing anyway, in terms of our overall health, is going to reduce those risk factors. So that means if you're a smoker, got to do something to try and quit smoking. If we're overweight, maybe speaking to a dietitian, nutritionist, medical weight loss person, something to help us get our weight down to a healthy level. If we're a diabetic, make sure our blood glucose levels are in an acceptable range. If we have heart failure, make sure we're seeing our cardiologist, making sure that our blood pressure is within normal range. And I think all of those will then decrease those risks. And then when we look at other things that can contribute to it, a sedentary life, so being active, I think would be helpful. Staying hydrated, so not drinking, you know, just alcohol and coffee, making sure that we drink enough water during the course of the day.
Sounds good. Well, Dr. Fulton, this is a great topic, and I'm learning a lot already, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. And when we come back, we'd like to talk about some of the risks associated with flying, with like long travel periods. So we'll do that. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking about vascular system health, risks, and prevention. And our guest is Dr. Joseph Fulton, who's chief of vascular surgery at WMC Health's Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston. Dr. Fulton, at the beginning of the show, we were talking a lot about risk factors for vascular disease and so on. And there's a condition known as venous thromboembolism, if I'm pronouncing it right, that's in the notes here. Can you talk about that and what that actually means?
Sure. It's a little bit of what we touched upon during the last segment, but I'll break down the words. So first of all, venous, which just means happening in the veins. And remember, we talked about that as the blood vessels bringing blood back to the heart. So in the legs, those are those blood vessels bringing blood up against gravity. And those are those blue, squishy things. And sometimes we see them as varicose veins. So that's the venous part of it. Thrombo, meaning clot, is just clot forming in those veins, and embolism, which means clot breaking off from somewhere and floating downstream. And that usually means to that right side of the heart and to the lungs, and that part is the pulmonary embolism. So when we talk about venous thromboembolism, we're talking about several different things. Number one, and I'll do it in terms of the worst or the most dangerous, and that being pulmonary embolism. That's one. The second is DVT. So you may have heard that term before, DVT, meaning deep venous thrombosis. And a deep vein is a vein that's within the muscle in the leg. And when clots form within those deep veins, they are at risk of breaking off and going to the lungs. So they act a little bit differently, and we treat those a little bit differently. The third is when clot forms in a superficial vein. And that's in like those veins that are just underneath the skin, maybe in a varicose vein. And that can be manifest by some redness, a hard lump under the skin, and some pain and localized swelling. And that's not really a danger of breaking off and going to the heart and lungs. So we treat that a little bit differently. So with venous thromboembolism, it covers those three things: the superficial vein clot, the deep vein clot, and the pulmonary embolism.
Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about the signs and symptoms. So what are the red flags? What are the real warning signs, you know, that people really need to like go see you tomorrow kind of scenarios?
So with any of these, even if it's a DVT, if it's a suspected DVT, none of that is wait, to get an appointment to see me the next day. That's a visit to the emergency room or to urgent care. And there's a few things they can do to test for that. Now, some people come in and they have a little pain in their leg, a little swelling in their foot or their ankle by the end of the day, and they're worried that they have blood clots. There are some certain characteristics that have been developed to try and see, all right, well, what people with leg pain and leg swelling are more at risk or more likely to have a DVT or deep vein thrombosis? So there are certain things such as significant swelling in one leg as respect to the other. And that's usually measured by about a 3-centimeter difference in the circumference of the leg at its widest point. So what you could do, if you got a measuring tape at home, you measure one leg versus the other. And if it's 3 centimeters or greater difference, then that's worrisome. If there's pain in the muscle of the calf with what's called passive flexion of the foot. So if you take or somebody else grabs your foot and moves the foot up and down and you get pain in the leg, that can be a sign of a DVT. If you have severe swelling of the entire leg, you know, that's another sign. So all those together make you at a higher probability, and we call that a pretest probability of having it, which means you should probably get some more urgent evaluation. And that would be a visit to the emergency room or to urgent care.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that you should always err on the side of caution and get figure out what's going on if you suspect,
yeah,
right?
You're right. And the main risk is that if you do have a DVT, and it can lead to leg swelling, but the big risk is that if it's a proximal or in a bigger vein, that can break off and go to the heart and lungs. So what they would do is if they diagnose that, they would start you on an anticoagulant immediately.
Mm-hmm. So doctor, let's switch gears for a moment and talk a little bit about blood clots and flying on an airplane for long periods of time and what the associated risks are with that.
Yeah, and there has been a lot, especially with a lot of longer travels happening now and people taking these long flights, 12 hours or more, there's been some concern over the risk of DVTs during these long haul flights. The good news is that the risk is still extremely low. There are certain things in flying and in long travel in general, even in a car, that make you more at risk. And I want to go back to what we look at in terms of our basics of risks of forming clot is what's called Virchow's triad. And there was a pathologist in the 1850s in Berlin, name of Virchow, and he wanted to find out what caused or what was made people at risk for getting a pulmonary embolism. And he came up with three things that we still use today: stasis, or blood flow that's not moving the way it should. So it's moving more slowly than normal. That's more likely to form clot. The second would be injury to the lining of the blood vessels. That's called endothelial damage. And the endothelium is the innermost lining. And the third would be a hypercoagulable state. So something going on that's making your blood more likely to clot in general. Now, when flying, some of the biggest risk factors are the stasis, or the blood not moving. So what we're doing when we're typically flying is we're sitting in a chair with our feet in a dependent position or down. So it's different than lying down at night when your feet are elevated or at the level of your heart. When you're sitting with your legs down, gravity is affecting the flow. So you're actually getting lower flow rates, and lower speed or velocity of blood in the legs. So that blood is becoming more static. So it's more likely to form clot. They actually call that the economy syndrome, economy flight syndrome, of people getting stuck in the middle row and not being able to move. The other thing is that we tend to get dehydrated during flights. People tend to drink either a lot of coffee or a lot of alcohol, both of which could be a diuretic. And we don't tend to drink a lot of water during flights, maybe eating a lot of salty foods. So we tend to get dehydrated, which also leads to sluggish blood flow.
And so the preventative measures, I'm assuming, are getting up and walking around periodically and drinking more water. Exactly.
I actually advise that, and I do that myself for any long distance traveling, whether it be in a car or in a plane. And it's even good for your lower back. It's good for your digestive system. It's good for your blood flow to get up and move around, you know, even if it's every half hour, 45 mm-hmm. minutes. If you're stuck in a chair in the middle seat, you can do different calf exercises, such as spelling the alphabet out with your foot, doing calf raises while you're in your seat. And making sure you're drinking a lot of water.
And the same is true also for those who have desk jobs like me, you know, all sitting here for 8 hours. I mean, I'm out there every hour. I'm out there taking a walk around the building or up and down the paths. And more and more of my colleagues are doing the same. I think that's very important.
Yep, I do. I agree with you 100%.
So, doctor, we've all heard about compression socks. I've heard about them, but I have no idea what they are or what they do. How does that relate to this topic?
So compression socks are a great tool to limit swelling and also to decrease your risk of superficial thrombophlebitis and, to a certain degree, DVTs. What compression socks are, and the one that we typically talk about, is what's called graded compression socks. What they do is they're fairly tight. They're made out of an elastic component. It could be made out of several different types of fabrics, but they're applying extrinsic or outside pressure to the legs. So they're going to be tight. And when we talk about graded, the good stockings are actually have a higher or a tighter constriction at the level of the foot and ankle, and it gets looser as it goes up towards the calf and knee. So a good compression sock that's going to do its work involves the foot. So you can't have these sleeves, the ones that go from the ankle to the knee. They've got to cover the foot and go up to the knee. And what they do is they prevent blood from pooling, and they actually improve the blood flow in the leg. So when you look at the blood flow in the veins of the leg, it's improved or increased when you're wearing a compression sock as opposed to when you're not. It limits the amount of swelling, too. So even if you don't get a blood clot in your legs, a lot of people who sit for long periods of time, whether it be at your desk at work, whether it's in a car or an airplane, their feet and ankles are swollen. That's just gravity. That's that what we call dependent edema. And compression socks can do a great job of preventing that. Mm-hmm. And there's different strengths depending upon how much swelling you have. The lightest ones are in 15, what we call 15 to 20. And those units are millimeters of mercury. So that's the same units that we use when we measure your blood pressure.
So, doctor, before we run out of time, which we are rapidly doing, tell us very quickly a little bit about the Vascular Surgery Center and Laser Vein Center, and how do people get in touch with you and get more information?
Excellent. So we're a group of three vascular surgeons. It's myself, Dr. John Kwan, and Dr. Javier Telegori. We do everything related to vascular surgery and blood vessels outside of the heart. That's done by the cardiologist. And outside of the skull. We take care of varicose veins. We take care of peripheral arterial disease, venous disease, and we're located on Mary's Avenue in Kingston at Health Alliance. And the phone number there is 845-339-3663.
And I have a website here, hahv.org/vascular. So Dr. Fulton, thank you so much for the great work that you do, you and your colleagues do, and for really increasing our knowledge and education about this topic. It's really, I know I learned a lot, and I'm very grateful for you coming in and joining us.
Vincent, thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Great. You're welcome. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.